Oh no. Oh no. Remember, Grape the penguin that had the waifu?
No,
No! What the? What did you even just say?
Were those real words? Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 420 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for Monday, July the 2nd, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me, as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
So I went to Hobby Lobby the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting some stuff framed, you know, doing the thing.
Okay.
Was going to pick stuff up, and fireworks going off outside, geez. It's not even July yet, people. Anyway, that's not the Hobby Lobby story. The Hobby Liar story... As I was waiting for the frame thing to be open, both little kiosks were full. And so I just started wandering around Hobby Lobby, which is a bad idea because if you wander around Hobby Lobby long enough, you're going to pick up a new hobby.
What hobby pick up?
Well, I got to walking up and down the yarn aisle. And it was all so cute and adorable, and it just looked so good. So I picked up knitting.
Okay.
I now know how to knit. I'm not very good at it, but I know how to knit.
You gonna start making scarves?
I mean, this seems like the easy thing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do yet.
Socks?
I can't really hand out scarves during summer. It's 100 degrees outside.
You make them now and you sell them cheaply, so that way people will have them in the wintertime.
I don't want to turn my house into a sweatshop of one person. That seems dark.
That may be a little bit, yeah.
I thought about like getting a head start on Christmas, but then like if I showed up at Christmas and gave everyone a scarf, but like the person got the first scarf I made, it's all mangled and weird, and the person got the last scarf, it's like actually decent. Like, yeah, they're gonna know.
And then they just line up according to quality, and they can know whose was made when in the line.
See, that's just it. If I made yours first and it's the worst, are you most important because I made yours first? Are you least important because you got the crappy one?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Ethan, have you ever picked up a new hobby inside Hobby Lobby?
Some science stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah, see, if you stay there long enough, that's how they get you.
Well, in my defense, it's like parents dragged me in there. I had nothing better to do.
Yeah, it's always dangerous. It's always dangerous around here to go to Hobby Lobby in the fall.
I thought you were going to say it's dangerous to go to Hobby Lobby on a Sunday because you got to break a window to get in.
It is dangerous to go to Hobby Lobby on a Sunday. Sometimes, you know, you want a Chick-fil-A sandwich and you want to get a new hobby you just can't do it.
Man, where can I get some chicken nuggets and some new knitting needles? God dang it.
You're going to have to go to Walmart, sir.
Run.
You have to go to Walmart to get some stuff and then I got to go to Wendy's. Nobody's happy.
No, because you can get chicken nuggets. Hitting stuff inside Walmart.
Yeah, but they're not already made.
They have a McDonald's inside Walmart.
I'm talking about the knitting needles.
Oh, well,
no,
yeah.
I'm not. I was talking about the nuggets, but it was funny.
You know, Walmart's the one-stop shop for everything. Except a couch. I don't think you can get couches. No, you can get couches at Walmart.
I bet at a Hobby Lobby. Yeah, new couch hobby.
I took knit up your couching. Own couch.
It's gonna be
I want to see you do that for Christmas.
I don't know. I'll get everybody a couch. I don't need more wrapping paper.
Well, all right. Man, we somehow managed to talk about food during that intro.
What? I didn't do it. You brought up Chick-fil-A. It's not my fault.
That's true. It was totally my fault. I am sorry. Please forgive me.
I don't mind. I like chicken nuggets.
Okay, well, how about right now we take a quick break, run to Chick-fil-A. Oh, no, they're closed, I think,
now. At least Hobby Lobby's still... No!
Come back and talk about some video games. All right, Ethan, what have you been playing this week?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Welcome to the Nintendo Oki Podcast, episode 420.
You've been watching a lot of games this week, I guess.
Yeah, summer games done quick started this week, and I forgot to even mention it on last week's episode, so that's my fault.
Luckily, I've been watching. You can go back and watch it on YouTube if you want to see some of the runs.
Yeah, it'll have been over since like for a day or so when this episode's out. So, yeah. A lot of great runs so far. As of recording, they're doing Final Fantasy VI right now. They're almost 3 hours into a 7-hour run, and I think it's the last run.
Yeah. What's been the thing you were the most interested or thought was the most interesting run to watch this week?
There were some good ones. The Super Mario Brothers 3 race was really interesting.
Yeah.
One runner had some unfortunate accidents, and it affected the guy he was racing against.
Somehow, one runner knew to just duck on the thing for 7 seconds and took it to the warp whistle, and then Fred Savage was there, and oh no.
No, one guy ended up getting a death or something and stomped the ground out of throwing a small fit about it for a reaction, I guess.
Yeah.
And it hard locked the other guy's system.
Oh no.
And so he's panicking, he's got his face covered or his face in his palms. He's apologizing like crazy. The guy's, no, I got this, and restarts, and they're a good little bit into they're like World 4, and they're doing supposedly a warpless race or something. I forget what it was at this point, but
yeah.
The guy's like, I got this, and he ends up using the warps and stuff. And then right at the end, another death occurs. Same guy throws the controller down, and it resets the console for the other dude again.
All right, needs to chill out. Like, I get tempers are high and there's a lot on the line, but, like, have some class being a live performance here, dude, especially twice. Like, once, like, okay, you know, you're trying to make a show.
The console is, like, 6 feet away, too, man.
Okay, don't throw a controller, like, don't throw a hissy fit on a live internet stream. Have some class. Bite your tongue. Take it backstage. Knock over a water cooler in the back.
And the whole thing is, you know, for charity, so it's not like you're going to win anything.
Yeah.
By winning the run. So.
Well, yeah. He's also a really well known in the community. They like people would cheer for him for other stuff, and
no, I'm
think
sure.
He's supposedly like really good at the Kaizo type Mario stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
So seeing him run a Mario 3 game and against someone else was pretty neat just in itself.
I know, I'm gonna have to go back and watch the one-handed run.
Oh yeah, that was really good too. That happened just before the Mario 3 thing.
So that's the one I'm kind of interested in going back and watching.
It's a pretty good 6-minute run.
I did catch the Mega Man 9 run, which was really good. I'd never actually seen anybody run that game. So it was interesting watching people play through that game and see the little tips and tricks and types of things they do in that game to speedrun it.
I'm bringing up their schedule real quick to see. It's been a long week. Let's see. You know what? You said you saw the Disgaea 5 run, didn't you, Tony?
I started to watch it. I got a couple minutes in, and then the guy was going so fast, I could not follow what was going on screen, so I just turned it off.
Oh.
I mean, he was literally clicking through things like this fast, and characters were moving. He had it on like this super fast setting, and I was like, this is not going to be interesting to watch, so I turned it off.
Ah. I do know last night I was staying up to watch the Pokemon Yellow and Red race, or not race, two games, one controller. So they were both being played at the same time by one person. And just before that was the Taskbot Plays F-Zero GX. Mm-hmm. And before that, they ran Taskbot Super Metroid 0% run. And they did the Save or Kill the Animals incentive for that as well.
Yeah.
And then the F-Zero GX run started, and they're like, they come back and say, is it Save or Kill the Animals still? Because they kept the incentive open for F-Zero GX. There's no animals to save or kill in F-Zero GX.
So what did they have to do?
You know what? People should go and find that run and watch it for themselves, because it's pretty awesome.
Okay.
I feel like you glossed over it as if everyone knows. You said Taskbot, this tool-assisted speedrun for anyone that doesn't know. Thanks, Ethan, for... you glossed over it like everyone knew. Like, everyone of us knows, but, like, there may be some people listening that don't, so, you know.
Very true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I recommend checking that out. And the only reason I didn't get to see the Pokemon Yellow Red run is power went out last night on me.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, just as it was about to start, power went out, so I said, forget it, going to bed.
Well, 4 in the morning, power went out, guess I'll go to bed.
It was like midnight.
It's a little better.
A little bit.
All right. Was that it?
That is all I've been watching.
What are you buying?
Nothing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 420 of the Nintendo Wiki Podcast.
The one without the video games.
Where we recount our weekly internet-ing.
Well, what have you been interneting this week, Shelby?
Nothing.
Have you been playing anything?
Not really. I've played a little bit of Project Diva here and there, because I've been kind of getting hyped up for the Miku concert next week.
Okay.
But yeah, like not even an hour and a half's worth, so...
How close are you to catching Katie's score?
I don't believe I'll ever catch Katie's score. You see, Katie doesn't have a full-time job and have to do laundry and stuff.
She does now.
She may have to do some laundry and stuff. Okay, fair enough.
But Katie... she sent me a picture this week, and I sent it to the guys, where she maxed out the score bar in Future Tone.
Yeah, so it did confirm that 39 is the max level, which I suspected, but didn't know, because I'm only like 28 or 29 on mine, so.
Yeah, so she has level 39 on both of those, and I think it's 9,999,999 points or something like that.
Yeah, she plays that game a lot, and she is quite good.
425 hours.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
Little did I know when I first mentioned Project Diva to you that it would lead to your daughter surpassing me. But she has done it head and shoulders, so I'm not my kid, but, you know, proud of her as if she was. She's my Miku daughter. That's a weird thing.
There you go.
But yeah, that's all I've really played.
What are you buying?
I did pick up an NES Mini the other day.
Really?
Yeah, so... June 29th, Nintendo reissued them.
Mm-hmm.
As I was at work that day for my lunch break, I was kind of poking around, looking at the internet. Like, Best Buy have any? This thing says Best Buy's got some. Well, this thing says Target's got some. This thing says GameStop has some. And like, okay, well, I'll hit some stores on the way home. Surely there'll be one left by the time I get there. Went to Best Buy first. They had one left, but they had one of those... like security things like strapped around it with like the wires or whatever that like cinched down, and it kind of tore the box up. I'm like, wow, that's less than desirable. I'm like, well, I'll go somewhere else. All the store search inventory things said that multiple stores had them, so I'll check around. Went to Target. They had like 7 or 8 in a case. I'm like, okay, sure. Give me one of those. I did some other stuff as well. Found like 7 or 8 in a Walmart here in Tulsa earlier today. Oddly enough, I went back to Target today, and all those NESs were already gone. So I guess once people figured out they were out there, they went and scooped them up.
Yeah.
Hopefully people don't turn around and try to third-party resell them. But Nintendo said they were going to release them, make them available till the end of the year. So that's cool. I am going to keep an eye out. I forgot that it doesn't come with two controllers. So next time I see one of the extra controllers in store, I'll pick one of those up.
As a a temporary thing, if you do end up playing any like multiplayer or two-player stuff with it, you can plug a classic controller in if you have one of those.
Yeah, I do. Okay, that's so cool. The Walmart I was in earlier today, they had several of the controllers, and that is near where I work. So I'll probably just pick one of those up, go by there Monday morning or Monday after work and see if they still have some.
Yeah.
So that's it for me.
Okay.
I didn't do anything cool on the internet. I don't watch the whole awesome games done quick thing. Not that I'm not interested. I just, I don't know. I got stuff going on.
All right.
That's me. I'm not going to be here next week. So, the week after that, I'm sure I'll have 2 weeks worth of no games to talk about.
Maybe you'll have something.
What about you, Tony? Save us from ourselves. Have you played something?
Let's see. I played Yard Work Simulator today.
Is that a real game?
Okay, it depends on your definition of a game.
Is that a real video game?
No.
Okay. Because when I saw that in the show notes, I thought, man, somebody out there is hyper specifically targeting you.
I would probably play that too.
Yeah.
I'm that crazy. No, we're just clean. Heather and I were cleaning up the yard today with the holiday coming up soon. We were going to have a bunch of people over. So we've had about a year's worth of things pile up that needed to be hauled off. So I hauled off a bunch of branches that had fallen down and leaves that we collected last fall. Things like that. I had to make 4 runs to our local green waste site to get rid of it all. But I got rid of it all. Yard looks nice. So that game's hard. Let me just tell you that.
Well, final boss. You gotta be ready.
It's true. In terms of actual video games I've been playing this week, I did not play Fortnite, so there's that. I've been playing other stuff besides Fortnite this week. I played Minecraft for a little bit. So I dug holes in a video game and then did some hole digging in real life. Because that's just what I do.
Okay.
Then aside from that, I started playing the Crash Trilogy on Switch.
Oh, cool. I like 2 and 3. I've never played 1, but I'm going to use this as a reason to play 1.
I played 1 back in the day on the PS1. And I remember, liking it okay. I didn't think it was, the greatest game or anything like that. But I didn't hate it. And I started replaying it again this week, and I do not like that game at all. I think it's bad.
So is it too hard, or do you actually think the controls are bad? Like, what's the deal here? Explain yourself.
The combination of very poor camera controls and controls themselves that aren't super tight make that game just not fun to play.
Huh. Well, if you get tired of playing, I would definitely encourage you to try checking out 2 before you give up. Because I remember
2
very fond of. Like, if you were to ask me to write down my favorite platformers of all time, Crash Bandicoot 2, Cortex Strikes Back would be near the top of the list.
Yeah. I fully plan on playing through all 3 of these games.
Okay.
I want to finish 1. I'm going to force myself to finish 1, and then I want to play 2 and 3. I played, just to see a little bit of the difference, I played the first level of 3 the other day.
Yeah.
And didn't have any of the complaints that I had with the first one, and maybe it's just because it's the first level. I need to get a little further into it. I don't know.
3 plays a lot like 2. 3 was pretty much just more 2. It was like your Super Mario Galaxy 2 kind of thing. It was like, oh, we got more levels. And then they added the relics, which were basically just speedruns to each of the levels.
Yeah. I think, this was the first generation of these 3D platformers, and they were trying to figure things out. People really didn't know at that point still what a 3D platformer was.
Yeah. They're very linear. Mario went,
Mario went one way. They went in a way that tried to make a 2D platformer just, you know, in a 3D plane. And the way the camera sits behind Crash, it's really, really hard to tell where he is on platforms sometimes.
Hmm.
And so you have a tendency to not jump when you need to, jump too soon, so you miss a jump. Like, there's one level, I'm stuck on the level right now, and a lot of people know the level. It's a bridge level, and you're jumping across this broken bridge, and I have died somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 times trying to play this level.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. So, it's incredibly frustrating to play through this game, and I know a lot of people love the Crash trilogy, or, you know, the Crash games. And I played, you know, like, you know, this first one, I played it a lot back on the PS1. That and Spyro. I'm really looking forward to that Spyro trilogy, or the Spyro remaster when it comes out.
Yeah.
And seeing how that game makes the transition from the PS1 era to modern consoles. I think fundamentally this is just, it is not a good game, or it hasn't aged well. It may have been fine back in the mid-90s, but you know, it just doesn't, this is the type of game that doesn't feel as good now as it did back then.
So if you're not enjoying it, why force yourself to finish it instead of just going to 2 or 3, which you might enjoy more?
Well, because I want to finish this. I'm going to work on this for review, and I want to say I don't want to just stop because I'm having trouble with one level. And it's really been this one level that's been super frustrating. Everything else is, while I've died a lot, I've been able to get past it, and I don't want to. I want to give all of the games as fair a shake as possible before I decide whether or not I think they're just not good games anymore.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're reviewing it, that makes sense. So I didn't know you were trying to write a review for it.
So, I mean, it looks good. I think visually it looks wonderful. It's a nice step up from the PS1 era graphics. But I think gameplay-wise, it doesn't age as well as some other games from that time period.
And we'll eventually get around to playing it, and I will. I can't really have this conversation, unfortunately. It's something I've always wanted to play. I've always kind of heard people say that it's maybe harder, and I always kind of thought maybe it was just more difficult. But it sounds like maybe it's just the mechanics of it weren't as well realized as they were with 2 and 3.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of environmental obstacles that require you to be able to tell where you are exactly in the level. And if you're on the ground, it's really hard to tell exactly how deep into a level you are. Mm. When you're in the air a little bit, it's a little bit easier because, of course, you have Crash's shadow that you can kind of watch to see where he is, you know, in relation to some of the other objects on the screen. So I want to finish this one, and then I do want to see how it gets from 2 to 3 to see, you know, as they figured out a little more what they wanted to do with that game and which mechanics worked and which ones didn't, how the games changed from the first one to the third one.
Have you had any levels where you have to run towards the camera in the first game?
Yes.
Okay. Well, get ready to do that, but also riding a polar bear.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That polar bear is adorable.
there's not a lot of those, but there are a few. There have been a couple levels, one in particular that's inside a cave and it's really dark, and there's some platforms that are moving up and down, where you hit this one spot, and then visually there's really nothing that tells you where to go next. You know, if you try to go to the right, there's nothing there. I mean, it looks like there's platforms there, but you obviously can't reach them. I tried going back to the left a little bit. There's nothing there. And I eventually found out the place you need to go is closer to you, but you can't see any of that on the screen to give you any indication that that's the direction you need to go without a little bit of trial and error and losing a couple lives to try to figure out if you can make some jumps.
Does it have any parts where, I mean, the most of it, the majority of the Crash one is probably just like behind the back cameras, like third person flying behind Crash as he's running down an alley, more or less, that kind of has stuff to jump on. But in 2, they would specifically do parts where all of a sudden, like, okay, now it's just a side-scroller, and you're just looking at a side-scrolling view a la Mario or something like that, and you're jumping on stuff. Does it do any of that stuff?
Yeah, there are a few of those, and there are some levels that do both, you know, right, running down, you know, north and south, so to speak, down corridors, and then also east and west.
That was something that I loved in 2, how it just, you're running behind, and all of a sudden it switches, and now it's just a side-scrolling thing. That was, I remember...
Yeah,
that'd be going like, man, this is the future of video games right here. Like platforms that are 3D and 2D, and it just switches back and forth. And yeah, that never really went anywhere. I guess people just decided they didn't want the 2D stuff anymore.
Yeah, and they do that in the first game. And the ones that sort of essentially turn back into a 2D side scroller, those levels are really fun.
Yeah,
it's the vertical stuff where you can't get any really good indication as to where you are in the level that are incredibly frustrating to play. So, but yeah, I think right now I'm probably a little more than halfway through the first game, and I don't think it's a good game. I'm hoping it gets better as we go along. So, I'll come back next week and I will hopefully have played through 2 and 3 at this point, to be able to give you a comparison and see if I think that the series gets better as we go along.
You're giving yourself a lot of credit thinking you're going to burn through these Crash games that quick.
Well, I mean,
trying to play through the levels. You're not trying to get like all the box gems and all the gems relics and stuff. Like I said, I've spent, I'm going to guess somewhere close to 100 hours in Crash 3 trying to get all those relics.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm not going to 100% that game and get all of the stuff that's in there with like those relics and things like that. There's too much stuff to play right now to do that.
Man, I remember playing Crash 3 for the first time, starting to get all the relics, stuff like that. And there's different like bronze, silver, and gold relics depending on what time you get. And some of the levels are particularly hard, and I would just grind them over and over and work on spots and just basically speed run these levels, right? Mm-hmm. And on this one, I was like, okay, I can almost get gold. I just kept doing it so much that I got really good at it. And by the time I got to the end, I'm like, yeah, I probably got gold without even knowing what the times were. And then it said, oh, you get platinum. I was like, oh, no, there's platinum relics? I'm not going back to get all platinum.
But you did.
No, I don't think I did. I think I let platinums happen here and there. I think I was just specifically going for gold. Oh, God, I don't think I went back to get platinum. Surely not. I played that game a lot.
I'm not liking this game enough to go back and collect everything. I feel so bad for Crash at the end of the levels, because there was one where it said, you finished the level, but you missed 43 boxes, and it just kept dropping boxes on his head, and I just felt so bad for him.
Yeah, you don't do that in 2. You just run past this little floating gem, and it just has a fraction there. Like, okay, you missed 6 boxes. They don't drop them on his face anymore.
Yeah. A little bit abusive to Crash in that first game.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, but yeah, that's really it for me. Not really enjoying the first Crash game. Hopefully it'll get better as we go along. But that is it for me.
What are you buying?
I don't think I bought anything this week. So let's take a quick break. We will come back and we will talk about the news. All right, so what happened in the news this week? Ethan, you got something about a Halo TV series?
Hey, Ethan's here. Wait, no.
That's true. He was gone for a little bit. His internet died, but it came back to life, apparently.
Yeah, it was not a fun moment. I mean, everything else is working, just not this. So
hey,
that's great.
Just heads up. If all of a sudden Ethan just stops talking, you'll know why.
Yep. So yeah, Halo TV series officially ordered by Showtime for 2019.
Okay. Do we know anything about this? Is it going to be like an animated show, live action show?
Live action adaptation for the Epic Xbox game franchise under the working title of Halo with Kyle Keelan?
It's going to be all puppets. It's going to be like a Muppet show.
Serving as executive producer, writer, and showrunner.
You laugh, but that would be the highest watched Halo TV show you could possibly make.
Probably.
It was all puppets. What about
Funko Pop Halo?
You know, I kind of realized that Funko Pop Gears of War may be the best Gears of War because I'd be able to chainsaw other Funko Pops and that would feel good.
So, have they talked anything about characters? Are we going to see Master Chief in this? Is it going to be set somewhere else?
Let's see. Rise of the Planet Apes director, Rupert Wyatt, whatever, however. 10 one-hour long episodes for the first season.
Okay.
How many puppets?
It'll be an adaptation of Halo. Will take place in the universe that first came to be in 2001, dramatizing an epic 26th. Oh wow, I cannot read. 26th
yeah, you're just century reading a news conflict. Story. Like,
well, I kind of had to bring it back up on here. I didn't exactly know all the stuff.
Yeah, I guess you did kind of lose the internet memorized. For a minute, didn't you? Okay.
I mean, this is not the first time we've seen live action Halo on a TV before.
Oh, no, it's not.
So. Oddly enough, of all the live-action Halo stuff they've made, I think the best stuff were, like, the ads for Halo 3.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Where they had, like, these two older guys, like, in a museum, like, talking, like, actors as if they were, veterans from the wars in Halo fighting the Covenant. I thought that stuff was all great.
Yeah.
And then they made that Halo Forward Unto Dawn thing or whatever, which wasn't bad, but it was just like a bunch of teenage angst and Halo, and all of a sudden Master Chief shows up and it got way worse.
Yeah. Yeah, that was okay until Master Chief showed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it was okay until Master Chief showed up. I agree. 100%.
It was okay. Now, if it had just been Master Chief the entire time, it would have been awesome.
Eh. Would it?
Yeah, because I get mad when they start throwing, like, really young kids into these roles like that. It's like the new Pacific Rim movie. It's just, I hate it because it's like, oh, look, here's the newcomers. It's like, I want the old guys back.
Well, if it would have just been Master Chief the whole time, it would have been a very different movie.
Oh, it could have been like, not just Master Chief, but some other Spartans.
It would have been a very quiet movie.
You can't really do acting that well when people can't emote with their faces because they're wearing helmets.
Tell that to Rooster Teeth.
I'm saying acting. That is machinima. They are doing voice acting, which they do it quite well. But that is humor. That is not action and like drama and stuff like that.
Have you seen the recent?
No, I haven't watched. I haven't watched Red versus Blue in years.
There was a lot of tech brought on when Monty Young joined them.
All right, well, also keep in mind, Monty Ohm is no longer with us anymore, and the coolest
They action, learned a lot from him.
I'm sure they did. He was an amazing man for what he did. And also, the best thing action-wise ever done with Halo was when he made the thing where Nicole fought Samus in that thing, and that was amazing! So, nothing you can ever do is going to top that Halo. Give it up. Make it the puppets. Make the puppets! Make a cardboard warthog like it's Labo!
I want the Sesame Street people that made that for the puppets for Halo puppets.
Yes, Halo puppetry. I'm telling you, this is where it's at. Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
And it's got to have the flappy head too.
Of course, it's all like Kermit the Frog head
with the helmet on. Just because. Why
that's not? How you emote with a helmet. You just flap it up and down like it's a puppet head. give him some Cookie Monster eyes while we're at it. Why not?
That would be interesting.
Siri, check the timer.
Maybe not. So, well, we'll probably find out a little bit more about this Halo TV series as
as time goes on, we'll find out more.
Nintendo's new president took office this week. We had heard earlier this year that Mr. Kimishima was stepping down as president of the company, and the man who is replacing him, his name is Shintaro Furukawa, took office officially this week and is now the sixth president of Nintendo. So, he's a little bit younger than Mr. Kimishima, who's in his late 60s. I think he's in his mid-40s. He's been with the company for 24 years now. Has worked with the Pokemon company, was an executive at different levels in Nintendo for the last couple of years. And hey, he has now taken over officially as the president of Nintendo. So, in that company's long history, they've only had six people officially, you know, in that president's office.
So, Ethan, I'm going to make you really upset. You ready?
Do it.
He's the sixth Hokage. See? Either his internet died or he's really upset with me, one or the other.
I'm just shaking my head now.
Yep. Told you. I tried to tell you.
Yeah, I have no problem with the Hokage. I just have the problems with Naruto.
Why do you...
Not the person, the series.
All right. Let's get to the bottom of this, Ethan. Is your hatred for Naruto simply because you feel like it is stepping on Dot Hack?
No, that's Sword Art.
Sword Art. Doing that. Well, yeah, that too. Okay, so what's your beef with
Naruto? Oddly enough, I'm okay with Excel World. It's the same universe.
Excel World is awesome.
So it's Sword Art. So that's weird.
What's your beef with Naruto? I want to know.
There is too much to talk about for that right now.
We have no news, dude. Like, this is your chance to air your grievances live on the internet. If you don't want to do so, I understand.
We need someone here to argue back with me on that. Someone who has properly seen most of it.
I've seen over half of it, and I'm working my way through it. Does that not qualify me? Okay.
I've seen the episodes. I would argue all that filler stuff that they put in on there that was garbage.
There is a lot of filler. You are not wrong. I think Naruto could benefit from a Kai treatment probably more than Dragon Ball Z does.
I really don't want to have this conversation.
All right, fine. Moving on. Try to pad out the show. Try to give some interesting conversations.
Naruto is not it.
Do you know the subtitle for Boruto is Naruto Next Generation or something like that?
Ugh. Future Hero Next Hidden Leaf Generation. I'm just making Ethan more and more angry as time goes on.
Well, how about we talk about legal stuff?
Oh boy, we could be talking about anime, but now we're going to talk about legality.
Did you know Naruto had ninja lawyers?
Yes. Of course that's
out.
What gets me is I live in a village in the trees. There's clearly real cities. They show real, normal, modern cities. All of a sudden,
they have a modern HDTV for their tournaments.
I know. Computers.
Oh, that's one of the problems.
That's a problem. Whatever.
You can't have HDTVs in the trees.
That stupid Zabuza saga. Oh,
that's like the first thing, dude. Get over it.
You would spend half the episode watching the previous episode.
I know. I watched it. There's episodes where, hey, literally,
that series should not have gone on for over 10 years.
It could, I'm not arguing, it could be much more concise. That is the biggest beef with that show. But if that's your only beef, it's a good one. You know?
Now, One Piece, that's pretty awesome.
You want to talk about being belaboring and the point? Oh, I don't like Naruto because it has 700 and some episodes. But One Piece with 1,000, that's very concise.
It went too long.
Sorry, what?
It just, it went too long for what it had to offer. Whereas One Piece, it's still offering new stuff all the time.
And pirates, man, they found another boat this week.
Don't find boats.
I don't know. I've never seen One Piece. I can't talk to it. I just think it's funny that you like One Piece more than Naruto, because you think Naruto is too long.
Oh.
All right, Tony, talk about your darn lawyers.
Well, this is a story that you brought to us.
Oh, oops.
But Bethesda has beef with Warner Brothers.
Yeah, so there's a game on mobile and on other platforms as well called Fallout Shelter. I've never played it, but I've heard of it.
I've played a little bit of it.
Apparently, there is also a game called Westworld. I guess it's based on a TV show or something?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I know nothing of it. All I know is that apparently the people what made this Westworld game for Warner Interactive also helped Bethesda make Fallout Shelters. And lo and behold, Bethesda's like, hey, we're suing you because you stole our code and made this game that is basically our game. So if you look at the two games side by side, they're very similar in look and style and the way they play. But I think the key thing here is that Bethesda found a bug in Westworld that matches a bug in Fallout Shelter that they fixed before the game released. And it's not just any other bug. It's a very unique bug that more than likely is the same bug because it's the same code.
Yep.
So, yeah. Looks like that's probably going to get a little sticky.
Yeah.
Now, since it's like the same people worked on it, since like the same, like, what are they called? Something Interactive?
Behavior.
Behavior Interactive. It could just be that, like, the same person, like, made the same typo two times over. So that's possible, but it's, I don't know a lot about programming, so I don't know necessarily how realistic that is, but I suppose it's possible. But yeah. More than likely, I should say, allegedly, something nefarious has gone on here. And Bethesda don't like it.
This will be very interesting to watch.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that Bethesda's like, yo, we found our bug in your game. Stop it.
Of all the people to find a similarity through a bug.
I mean, Bethesda's got a lot of them. Remember that
they
bug?
They know their bugs.
Remember that bug in, like, New Vegas or whatever, that if you wore a hat in a certain town, the game would just crash?
I didn't know that.
What are you talking about? Bethesda games don't have bugs.
No, they don't have bugs. It's a feature. You wear this hat, the game closes for you automatically and saves you the trouble of having to do it.
Dragons flying backwards? It's a feature.
Yeah, it's a skill. It's a Michael Jackson dragon. It's a pop of dragons. Ooh. Poppin' dragon. Poppin' music. Funko poppin' music.
Poppin' dragon.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's going to be interesting is, because the same developer worked on these, is it something that they did and it just happens, you know, they're making the similar style of game. We thought, okay, well, we've done this before. We'll just take this and move it over here. Or because it's got Bethesda assets, what part of it is the part that causes the problem?
And I think it's Bethesda owns like the code for that game since they paid for it or something is what the issue is.
I think they're saying there's some reused art and other assets as well. So it's not just the code. I think they've got, from what I was looking over news-wise, like there's some side-by-side showing stuff in gameplay. Like they're very similar. Like you can see that it would be quote unquote a ripoff, you know, kind of thing, or just a clone of a game. But yeah, if it's their code as well, then that's a little more serious. Especially since it gets even more suspicious since they literally helped them make the other games. They had access to that code, and then they turn around and make a game that looks exactly like it. It's not a good look.
And you can still get it on the App Store. Still free with in-app purchases.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on this one and see where this goes, because that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's a heck of a thing.
And then our last news story this week, Nintendo commented on exactly how people are using the Switch and the ways that they're playing. Oh, gosh. Sorry. A gnat just flew in my mouth.
Nintendo doesn't want you to know how the Switch is played. They're trying to shut Tony up.
Apparently.
Sending all the grief. Nintendo gnats.
I'd seen the gnat flying around for a little bit. I wanted to catch it.
Oh, you caught him. He ain't going nowhere.
That was
now.
Not the way I wanted to catch him.
Well, no more fiber in your diet.
Man, got some protein. Oh, okay. And I just love this because anytime this guy speaks, I'm like, I love his name, and it's perfect. It's Doug Bowser.
Oh yeah, that guy.
That guy. I think Nintendo hired him just because of his name. He could have been the worst possible person for the job, and they're like, we got to hire Bowser.
There's no way they could have hired him just for his name, right? I got to think that Nintendo of America is more professional than that.
Probably.
If they wanted somebody named Bowser, they would just have somebody legally change their name. Hey, I'm Bowser. What's your middle name? Mario?
Oh, Bowser, Mario, Bowser.
Has a kid named Bowser Jr.
So, he is the senior vice president of sales and marketing for the company. And he talked about exactly how people are using the Switch. And he says, right now, playtime is split between docked and undocked pretty evenly, about 50% docked versus undocked.
How do they know that?
Apparently,
they're spying on you.
They can see those play statistics.
Is there something that EULA that I clicked on at some point that they can just monitor me, whatever I'm playing? Or are they just taking surveys? I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
Better be surveys, because if they're just spying on me and they know what I'm doing when I'm on a Switch, I'm not too comfortable with that.
Well, a lot of their games
might not be legal.
A lot of their games have had the thing like, would you like to share your play data with Nintendo for research purposes and stuff like that?
Always say no.
There could have been something in the Switch itself, just as a system-wide thing, to allow Nintendo to do that. I don't know exactly how they're getting the information.
That doesn't seem legal.
Probably it doesn't, not.
It doesn't say in there, in this story how they get that information, but they have that information. Instead, they currently don't monitor which undocked mode a player is using, whether it's the Joy-Cons attached to it, tabletop mode, whatever. They probably can't determine that, or maybe they can.
Currently doesn't currently actually like. Well, we could turn that Switch on, no pun intended, if we wanted to. Yeah, we just don't want to spy on people that much.
No, they don't.
Apparently,
And then they did say that usage rates vary by game. For example,
what? All right, Doug Bowser, what the heck did you just say?
He said titles like Just Dance are played mostly in docked mode.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which makes sense because you have to use the Joy-Cons to do all the dancing motions and stuff like that. It'll be really hard if you've got those things attached to the system itself. Whereas games like Mario Kart 8 or Breath of the Wild are pretty equally balanced docked versus handheld. And then this data only applies to players who have active Nintendo accounts.
I don't know. Maybe I agreed to something unknowingly. When it asked me if I read the thing, I never read the thing. I just click OK. I don't have time to read all that.
So you gave Nintendo the permission to spy on you.
Probably. Well, they write it in all that legalese. I can't make sense of normal English, much less like, oh, the person who henceforth will be called you.
I mean, I generally do go ahead and share my play data. I don't, if Nintendo wants to see that I spent 30 minutes running around in a circle in Breath of the Wild, what do I care? So, not that
Nintendo
I spent
cares.
30 minutes running around in a circle.
Wait, are you secretly trying to admit that you spend 30 minutes running around in a circle?
No, I can't say that I've ever actually done that. 25 minutes now.
No. Minute 26, that's where I draw the line.
That's right. I'm not doing this for 26 minutes. That's just crazy. But there you go. That is it for the news. So let's move on to listener feedback. And our first one this week comes from Cole via Facebook. He has a question for us. He wants to know, which is worse, the Super Mario Brothers movie or the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and why?
The movie. The fact that you're asking which is worse, and you put those two in the same sentence. No.
Like I enjoyed the Super Show, the cartoon parts of the Super Show specifically, but even the live action parts, those are just campy and goofy. Like the Super Mario Brothers movie had its appeal, certainly. But like as a piece of film, it is a train wreck. But it's just like a timepiece and just like of how could this have happened? And just as a fascination, like it is a masterpiece in as in how horrible of a mess it is.
What you don't know is Bowser's name in that movie was actually Doug.
Hey man, Princess Daisy got one over Princess Peach. Oh, forever herald the Mario Brothers movie is a jewel in the crown of Sorrow Land.
There you go. I really, really liked the Super Show. I watched it all the time as a kid. I've rewatched it numerous times with my kids now. I love how campy and silly and, you know, just dumb those live action segments are. And then the cartoon is not offensive in any way. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that cartoon. I think
let's not go that far.
it's not, you know, high cinema or anything, but it is not.
The part where he touches the superstar and gets Fireflyer powers.
Okay. Yeah, there are some issues with the Mario canon in that show.
Oddly enough, I think that may be where some of the Mario canon comes from. Is that the first time that it was established that Mario and Luigi got sucked down a drain and that's how they ended up in the Mushroom Kingdom? I think that might be the first time they mentioned that.
Maybe.
It seemed like it came up one time on the show. And I don't have my book for the original Mario Brothers game to know if it says anything in there. Maybe it does. I guess I could look it up on the internet. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that story came from at this point. It's been so long.
I think it's the only time it's really mentioned, you know, or talked about that they're from, like, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And they just happen to be in the Mushroom Kingdom through no fault of their own.
The only real thing I remember from the Mario Brothers Super Show live action stuff is the silhouettes on the window thing.
Yeah, some of those are funny.
You want to know a hot tip? Watch the opening of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and when Captain Lou Albano, aka Mario, comes in, I believe it's from the right of the screen. Watch his footsteps, because I'm pretty sure, like, his second step, he kind of trips, and they just, that was the best take, because that's the one they used.
Oh, man, if they'd ever done, like, a movie, he should have been the voice of Mario.
You want Captain Lou Albano to be the voice of Mario instead of Charles Martinet?
I would be perfectly fine with Lou Albano doing the voice of Mario.
I liked him. I liked that live-action stuff. It was goofy, but he is no longer with us, unfortunately.
Yeah, it would be a little hard for him to do the voice acting in a Mario movie now.
They got enough of him talking on the Super Show. They could take a robot and take all those lines and words and mix them together and make new stuff. Isn't that what they did for Igor in Japan for the longest time? Because that guy died, unfortunately.
And neither Lou Albano or Danny Wells are with us. So.
Who's Danny Wells? That's the guy that did Luigi? Man, they're both gone?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't know that guy was...
Dude really does almost trip. Or he's doing a stutter step.
Totally. No, I don't think he does it on purpose.
Watching Luigi does the double tap thing, too.
Oh, yeah?
But his isn't as obvious looking like a trip.
So, the correct answer to that, which is worse, it is the Mario movie.
Boom shakalaka.
So, and then our last one comes from Zach via Facebook, who wants to know, what are our PC specs? I don't really play computer games. I don't have any idea. It's a laptop that I bought earlier this year or last year. I don't remember at this point.
I don't even have a video card in my computer. So yeah, if that tells you anything. And I don't know how to put one in. Nor do I know how to tell what it is if it was already in, so I have no idea. I push the button and it comes on. There's some parts in there. I hope they all work, because if they go out, I don't know how to fix them. There was that one time my motherboard stopped working live when we were recording a show. That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember the last time I purpose-built a computer and cared about what the specs were. If it lets me get on the internet and record a podcast, that's basically all I need. I don't really use my computer for anything outside of that.
Yeah, me either. If I had something that could play games, I would probably play more stuff on it. But I already have enough stuff to play games on, and I already have enough games to play, but I don't have enough time to play all that stuff in the first place, so I don't need to put money into another thing.
What about you, Ethan? I think you do play games on your computer.
Yes, I do. I have a Ryzen 7 8-core processor in mine. Let's see, what is my video card is a GeForce GTX 1060 6GB card. I have 16GB of RAM in there. I don't really know what else I could say about it other than like the motherboard's a Asus Prime X370 Pro ATX AM4 motherboard.
How many bitcoins have you mined?
Zero.
Okay.
I probably should do that sometime. Maybe get a fraction of a coin in 10 years.
There you go. There you go. You'd be rich.
I earned a whole dollar.
Make sure you cash out before that Bitcoin bubble bursts.
Right.
So, but there you go. That is going to be the show for this week. So,
Bitcoin
if anybody out
bubble
there.
Bitcoin bubble bobble? Is that what I'm hearing?
Ooh, that'd be a game. Somebody's going to make that.
It probably already exists. It's probably already a Flash game, right?
Probably. Somebody look that up. But if anybody has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show.
I have internet still, right?
I think so.
Awesome.
You can go watch the last little bits of GDQ.
GDQ or Pop Team Epic, which to pick from?
Good question. And Shelby, as always, thank you for co-hosting this craziness.
I like how the fireworks outside stop when we're done with the podcast.
That's how it goes.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days. So I posted on Twitter yesterday. I said, I'm about ready to punch Crash Bandicoot in his stupid little nose.